What do you think about this exhibit at the Museum of Science and Technology? You work with adolescents in your practice, and I know you talk to a lot of parents about how to handle the conversations they have to have with kids about sexuality and a wide range of other things. You go into schools and talk to kids and work with them there. So what's the right balance between providing them with information and being open and accessible and not being too racy and provocative?
Well, what our experience has been was the conversation should be driven by the child or the adolescent, because the questions that they will ask will be, frankly, age-appropriate questions since it's coming from them. And our experience was when we were, for 10 years, we ran an adolescent medicine clinic first at Brookfield High School, then at Canterbury High School. And we would go in, it was a teaching program with the residents, and we would go into the classrooms and not have any agenda. In fact, Mark, what we said is that we're here to answer any questions regarding any topic, not just sexuality, but any topic. But the questions were written down on paper anonymously, and we would collect the questions, bring them up to the front, put them in a big box, mix them up so no one could see who or where the note was coming from, and then they would ask the questions. And it was interesting to see the differences in focus from a grade 9 student through to a grade 11 or 12 student. As you saw them develop and become more adult, the questions became much more pointed with regards to their concerns at that stage of their lives. So we would answer the questions very factually. There would be no opinion per se. It was answering what they wanted to know. We wouldn't go any farther than what that question asked. And what that would generate was even more questions. And once they saw that others were asking the questions, they would then just put up their hands and ask the question without feeling like they were being singled out.
So does that suggest to you that this exhibit is not catered to one age or another, and it's not driven by the questions, although there is a sort of question and answer kind of format to it there, that it's just sort of pushing a bunch of information on kids, some of which they may not be ready for?
I would say that that's probably a fair evaluation, Mark, because, again, the age of the child is going to reflect upon the question that they're going to be asking. And if you're giving more than what they are curious about, if you're giving more than what they are able to handle at a specific time, because it can be something very, you know, you can answer a question in many different ways, it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate in terms of, you know, they have the question they want to have answered. If you start giving more than that, it can either be confusing. It can also just be not something that they are prepared to digest at that time.
And this exhibit, of course, could have 13-year-old, 14-year-old kids going with their parents or with an adult. It could also have 17 and 18-year-old kids who are going there, and their needs might be totally different.
And that's exactly what we found. And what was interesting is that by the time they got to grade 9 and 10 and the questions they were asking, and we would go to the classes several times, over that time, many of their questions were answered, for everything from STIs to misperceptions or conceptions about sexuality and sexual activity. The parents were well informed as well. They had signed notes saying that, you know, knowing that we're coming to the class, that it wasn't just sexuality, but their children would be asking the questions.
Right.
We wouldn't have any agenda. And I think that's what's important to get information over to kids, is when they ask the questions, they want to know and they're more receptive to the answer.
Barry, thank you.
You're very welcome, Mark.
Great to have your insight into this topic, especially with your experience.